Welcome and thank you for joining us for this service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the July 13th, 2025 service at Plymouth, the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank. We come with willing hearts and eager minds.
Lead us in your truth, God in our salvation.
We come in our weakness and wander.
Teach us your ways, God of our salvation.
We come seeking the path of justice. Next is the hymn, Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory. Next is verse 1 of Open My Eyes. First scripture reading is Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. I am reading the RSVUE edition. To you, O Lord, I lift my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been formed of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. for the sake of goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. God leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his ways. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. This is the word of the Lord. Next is the hymn, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian.
My finger was too quick on the button. Did you notice that? We went to verse 2 very quickly. I'm going to start over now because I've lost my place. Our New Testament scripture reading is from the Epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. I, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, you have heard of this hope before the word of truth that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it is also bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. And he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him as you bear fruit in every good work, as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all strength that comes from God's glorious power, so that you may have all endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to God, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. The Lord has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Bearing fruit and growing. There are a lot of books out there on the life of Elvis Presley, but one in particular, written in and released, published in 2003, The World According to Elvis. It's a collection of all kinds of rare known facts about the king of rock and roll, and probably you'll want to rush out and get this book, though it's only a 2003 edition. Well, in this book, for example, you'll learn that, did you know that when Elvis, at age 11, for his birthday, was given a guitar, and he was sad for that, because what he really wanted was a bicycle. Amazing that age 11 and that gift of a guitar changed the direction of his life from there on out. Sometimes a gift we get isn't the one we expected, but it's the one that shapes our life. One thing that stuck with me is the fact that when Elvis died, he was reading a book entitled A Scientific Search for the Face of Jesus. Now that's saying something. That at the end of the lights and all the noise in Elvis's life, he was looking for something deeper. And maybe more than something, someone. Well, aren't we all searching for something deeper? That at some level we're searching for the face of Jesus. Jesus' presence, Jesus' truth. Maybe even Jesus' comfort. Yeah, we could all use a bit of that. So this morning we turn to the Paul's letter to the Colossians. He's one who's never met these people, but he knows of them because of Epaphras' work. He knows that they have heard the gospel. They believe the gospel, and it's changing their lives. Paul loves them. And he wanted them to know it. He already wanted them to recognize that they were already bearing fruit. Now, just weeks ago, we were talking about the fruit of the Spirit. They were listed here, and it was like a board of words that there's peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, self-control, and things like that. I made the joke that, well, I'll take some joy, but I don't want to work with self-control at all. But, you know, it's not something we can pick and choose. Paul builds on that theme here as we are in the book of Colossians. He's noticing that this group of Christians, because they've heard the gospel, believe the gospel, they are changing and they themselves are bearing the same fruit that Paul talked about in the book of Galatians. I think this message of bearing fruit in the midst of the lives they lived is appropriate. But it also has a tie-in for us in these days we live, for God's encouragement coming to us. We live among personal grief, collective uncertainty. And we need to hear not only that we're forgiven, but that through us that the gospel is still bearing fruit, and that you, my friends, and I are still growing. Faith, love, and hope are growing among us. Paul says in verses 3-5, we always thank God because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. What a trio. Faith, love, hope. This is how Paul measures spiritual health, looking for these qualities in individuals, in these people. He's not looking for how big is the budget, how many seats are full, but how much faith, how much love, and how much hope are showing up. This weekend, I did a little work at catching up with many of the videos and reading many of the stories of the events happening in Mid-Texas this week. That from July 4th and following. The homes underwater. As of yesterday, over 120 dead. As of yesterday, still 173 missing. Families displaced. Whole communities reeling from devastating floods. It's heartbreaking. But I also saw something else in those stories, in those videos of that devastation. People are lining up with food, with blankets, with boats, churches opening their doors, neighbors caring for neighbors. That's love, my friends, at work. That's faith made visible. That's hope refusing to sink. If there's one quote I love from the movie Starman, that as this alien individual is learning about human beings, he says, "What did I learn? It's when things are at their worst that I see you at your best." Love is standing out as these people refuse to stop searching, as these people refuse to stop helping, as these people refuse to stop sharing. This is the kind of fruit that Paul is talking about. Faith that roots you and me, love that binds you and me, and hope that pulls us forward. So faith, love, and hope are growing among us. The gospel itself bears fruit everywhere. In verse 6, Paul says, "Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, the gospel itself is not stagnant. It's not locked in the first century way back when. The gospel of God, the good news of God, is still alive and moving today. The good news of Jesus Christ is bearing fruit, not just in hearts, but in communities, in systems that are shifting and being more helpful in how we care for one another." Last weekend, it was passed by Congress, the big, beautiful bill. Some hailed it as a bold step forward, with promises of investments in infrastructure, housing and climate resilience, social support. Others greeted it as a disaster, loading on debt into the future, cutting some programs, and then cutting taxes by those who are the most wealthiest. But the truth is, whatever our stance on the big, beautiful bill, or whatever you might call it, and it's true of most legislation, it's a mixed bag. There is beauty in the vision that a nation is trying to care for its most vulnerable and build wisely for the future, to strengthen the foundations. But many also worry. Will the money reach those who need it most? Will the hunger programs reach those who have no meals otherwise? Will the small towns like ours see any benefit of this big, beautiful bill? Will it do more than pad the already powerful? And that's where we come in. Because the gospel doesn't wait for perfect policy. It bears fruit wherever people live out the love of Christ. Sometimes that looks like holding our leaders accountable. Sometimes it means filling the gap where government falls short or right now is removing itself and its help. It can be seen in feeding the hungry, housing the unhoused, and walking with the weary. Paul wasn't writing to lawmakers or emperors and kings, presidents of any kind. He was writing to a church, a gathering of ordinary people, a lot like us. And he was saying to them, "You You are a part of what God is doing in this world. And it begins here. It begins now. It begins as we take our next step. So as far as the great big beautiful bill, oh, I added a word there, the big beautiful bill there, whatever that bill fulfills, whether it fulfills its promises or not, we keep sowing seeds of mercy, seeds of justice, and compassion. And that is gospel fruit. That's the kingdom of God taking root in real life. I've hesitated till now to say much about what's going on in Gaza. I'm one, as a Christian church leader, I'm one who supports God's love for the people of Israel, but I do not in any way allow them a pass on the terrible things that Israel is doing to those who live on the Gaza Strip. Clearly, it is a land grab. Clearly, it is intended to wipe out a whole group of people, Hamas included. And with that wiping those people out, it's the process of moving them out of their homes, then bombing those homes, then moving them back and bombing where they were in temporary shelters. And nowadays we see in the food lines that are feeding the thousands, gunshots ringing out. All of this behavior goes against every grain of God's teaching of loving your neighbor, of the Old Testament sense of justice. It is a land grab. And I, in my mind and my behavior, hold Israel accountable for what they're doing. This is not the actions of God's people. It is the exact opposite. It is those filled with greed. The gospel bears fruit everywhere. And when it's our turn to stand up and speak what truth we see in the gospel to those in power, that's what we do. We speak as clearly, as kindly, and as pointedly as we can. The gospel bears fruit everywhere. Thirdly, Paul has a prayer for strength and wisdom for these a group of Christians in Colossae. In verses 9 through 11, here's what it says: that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will, being strengthened with all power, so that you may have great endurance and great patience. What a prayer. Paul's not asking for them or for us that life be easy. He's asking for endurance for the tough miles ahead. Paul's asking for wisdom, because we will need to pick and choose and be careful of what we hear. Paul is praying for their strength to keep going, because there are those who weary. Some of you know exactly why that matters, because you've been carrying heavy burdens already. And whether it's family struggles or the financial strain, it is hard to make ends meet these days. Whether it's health worries, or frankly, just sheer exhaustion. But you know what? You're still here. You get up on Sunday morning. You get up every day. You come here to worship. During the work week, you are out mixing in the community and spreading seeds of good news where you go. You're still faithful. You are still growing. Paul's prayer is for you, that you may be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might. Not so that you can win awards or impress your neighbors, but so that you can endure with patience and keep walking with joy. So friends, here's the good news. You are already bearing fruit, even if it's slow. Even if it's hidden, even if it doesn't feel like much, you're growing. You're growing, and your roots are growing deeper than you think. Many of you grow plants, and you know this to be true, that when you don't see a lot of growth above ground, there is still growth going on underground as those roots deepen, finding new sources of food and water. Yes, the world is heavy. Yes, there are floods and political divides, wars breaking out, bringing personal heartbreaks. Jesus is still present. The Spirit is still moving, and the gospel is still bearing fruit. And whether it be fruit being born in Texas, or in Congress, or in the Gaza Strip, in your neighborhood, in this church. So friends, keep planting seeds. Keep showing up in faith. Keep loving one another. And along the way, trust. Trust that what God has begun in you, God will bring to completion. This is just one step of the journey.
Next are verses 2 and 3 of Open My Eyes. Next is the hymn, I'm Gonna Live So God Can Use Me.
To love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. Amen.